Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 7th, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 68, the third paragraph, which begins, "We never apologize to anyone." Today's readers are Libby E. on the 12 steps, Nancy T. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Wendy M., Christine M., and Julie E. B. as backup. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, June 6th at 10 a.m., the code is 11509. And for this morning, June 7th at 7 a.m., the code is 11512. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Libby E. to read our 12 steps.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. I'm Libby E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in New York. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Libby E. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Great. I'm Nancy, compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 68, paragraph 3, which begins, "We never apologize to anyone." And I will ask Wendy M. to get us started.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. Okay, again, Wendy recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and so grateful to be on the line, and I am so thankful to God for entire abstinence this morning, and Kathy, thanks for your service and everybody on the line. So the word first that pops out for me is the word apologize, because I spent my life telling you that I was sorry. That's how I got through life, actually. If there was a conflict, I was sorry. I didn't mean it at all, but or maybe I did. But I was just trying to get by, you know what I mean? I was just trying to pretty much keep you at bay and push you away. And today when I'm texting and the first thing I go to, if someone sends me something that's kind of sad or you know, they're not doing well, I always say I'm sorry first and then I delete it because I'm not sorry. I didn't do anything, right? I don't have to apologize for it. But I can, you know, I can lean in, go to God, and be of service to that person. But I do notice now I delete it all the time. And in my speech, too, I don't apologize anymore. I apologize for my existence, right? And the other piece here just that it says is apologize, you know, for trusting God. And I grew up definitely in a household where we were prejudiced against those who leaned on God. We thought they were weak. You know, and faith is ridiculously courageous. It means we stop running the show, we're vulnerable, and we're not in control. That's a huge, courageous leap. And then the next word, of course, is fear. And for me, when I'm in fear, God wants my attention. God says, I need you to take notice. I need you to pause. And most importantly, God says, nothing is wrong. You're just feeling fear because I need your attention on something. You know, because the food's down, I can actually feel my feelings today, right? And it's so, I get so much serenity the minute I realize nothing's wrong, but I do need to take attention, right? So I was in fear last night, and so I took pen to paper this morning, as I always do. And after I got through the fear, I could look at the control, and then finally I could get to the grief, and then finally I could just bathe in God's glory this morning, just weeping in God's lap, you know, because I want to, here's the deal, I want to control things, and I'm in fear because I believe a lie about myself, you know, and I say to myself, what's the belief running the fear? And it's always, I'm rotten, I'm smelly, I'm ignorable, I don't matter, all that stuff, right? And then, you know, then I can go to, like, well, what's that from? You know, really unearth the fear. And the other thing about the fear is I'm afraid because I want something from you, right? I'm afraid I'm not going to get it. And so I have to figure out how to control you so I can get my needs met. And the freedom today is that when I don't need from you, I'm completely free, right? I'm free of the fear, and I have freedom. And by the way, you don't even have it to give. Right? I have the illusion that you're going to give me something that will fill me up. And you don't. You don't have it to give. Thank God you don't have it to give, right? And the minute I can go to God, and I get to God through writing every morning, and I get to God through prayer and meditation, but I really get to God with the writing. And then the last thing I want to say is action alleviates the fear. When I took the action this morning, the fear dissipates. The fear goes away. If I'm honest, if I'm honest with God and I say, this is what I'm trying to get from this person. And, you know, God can restore me instantly the minute I take action. You know, lean into God and take action. So I think I will pass at this point. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy. Okay, who would like to share on what Wendy read?
Kathy G.
Julie
Kathy.
E. B.
Okay, Kathy, Julie,
H.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Terry H.
Terry H. Take a couple more.
Marilyn D.
Paula D. and Marilyn C.
T.
Oh, T. Sorry, Marilyn. Okay, why don't we stop there? Okay, so we have Kathy G., Julie E. B., Terry H., Paula D., and Marilyn T. Please go ahead, Kathy G.
All right, thanks so much, Kathy. And thank you, Wendy, for getting us started with that powerful share this morning. This is Kathy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Very grateful to be here today. Grateful to be addressing fear. And as I've been listening this morning and looking over this paragraph, there's two thoughts that I wanted to share. And one is that I realized that my primary fear is of feeling my feelings. And I have really, as I worked through the steps, I've just been amazed at the lengths that I went through with so many different substances and behaviors to do anything in my power to not feel my feelings, especially not to feel the fear. So grateful for that insight today, and I'm grateful that I can feel fear today and my feelings and realize that I'm going to be okay. They're going to change. They're going to pass by, and I don't have to use anything to change them. It feels like it feels very grown up to me today, and I'm grateful for that. And then the final thing is, it says that instead we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. One of the things I've had to undo in myself, in my recovery thus far, is I had to stop using the word God so much. I have this wonderful counselor that God kind of dropped into my life in my recovery path, and he had me go on assignment for 2 weeks because I use the word God so much that I think it was actually turning people off. And then I had to look, what's my motive here? Am I trying to be some self-righteous person or whatever? And so he had me for 2 weeks not mention his name, which I did, and it was really hard for me, but I got to see the pieces in myself that were not truly authentic. And now I'm letting him demonstrate through me what he does. And this is a program of attraction, not promotion. If people ask me about God or, you know, what I have, whatever, I can share it then. But I don't have to be, you know, going, God this, God that, God this, you know. And, of course, he's going to come up because I love him with all my heart. And he's completely changed my life through this program. But just to keep it in context. So thanks so much. Appreciate the time. And have a great day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Julie E.B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado, gratefully abstinent today. This paragraph has been so powerful in changing my life. First of all, just this sneaky word in there, depending on our Creator. I depended on lots of things. I depended on food for my sanity, for my emotional regulation, to order my day, to set the rhythm of my day. I depended on other people, places, and things to tell me if I was okay. I depended on achievement and success to reassure myself that I was invulnerable and that I could be free, I thought, from fear. I depended on myself to analyze others and their defects as if that would give me a measure of control over my life. And so now, if I'm not my own higher power, even if I don't know what my Creator means, even if I'm not have a clear sense of what that God or higher power means to me, for me, it means walking away from a lower power, and it means depending on something other than myself. And so I depend now. That's how I developed faith. Believing is also an action, a second step prayer says from another program. Believing is also an action, and as I practice it, I develop faith. And so as I practice day by day, hour by hour, abstinence and this simple prayer, we ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. Right away, it says, we begin, we commence to outgrow fear, because right away, we're not depending on ourselves. We're asking God to remove the fear. We're asking God to do it, God to redirect me. So right away, I'm putting myself in a position to admit that I don't know what to do with this fear. I need help. And so if you're struggling, if you're just starting, one meal at a time, one moment at a time, one outreach at a time, we ask something other than ourselves to redirect our attention when we are afraid. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Terry H., please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic anorexic in North Carolina. Very grateful today, a beautiful day. The fear inventory. The fears that I held on to or that ran my life for many, many years were blocks between me and my higher power. You know, I alone am powerless over my disease. You know, I believe I needed a higher power to help me because I couldn't do it myself. And I turned my will and my life over to my higher power. And so, you know, doing this fear inventory, making my list and putting down what that was about and how it affected me and what my role was in that fear, you know, helped me to see that there were a lot of blocks. You know, I had a lot of fear in my life. And see my role in it. And, you know, with my higher power, I could ask God to remove it. And this is where trust came in for me in working the steps. You know, I had to really trust that my God was an infinite God and see and really know that my higher power was big enough for all of this, all of these fears. You know, instead of me and my self-will, I was open to seeking right thought and right action through God and not so much through Terry. You know, what Terry wants, you know, and so that's what I do today when I'm working my program. You know, when fears come up for me, I'm seeking, I'm turning it over, asking God how he wants me to be in this situation, turning it over, sitting in the pause, which is very difficult because, you know, the answers don't always come when I want them to come. And so I'm willing to do it differently. I'm not, you know, I don't want to isolate. I don't want to run away. I'm willing to be still and be open to my higher power's direction and guidance today. And that's a huge difference than when I was in my disease, isolating, hiding, trying to do it my way. It didn't work. And the minute I'm able to seek my higher power's guidance to help me with those fears, that's when I began to start to outgrow that fear, because my thinking process and my actions are shifting from me, Terry, and doing, you know, what Terry wants to do, to seeking what God and my higher power wants me to do. And I am so grateful for that in that process to help me live my life today. And once I come through that and clear those blocks, the freedom and serenity that I experience, you know, allows me to do many things in life that I was not able to do in the past. And I'm really grateful for that.
Reminder. So,
thanks, everyone, for being here, and I hope everyone has a great day. And I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. Paula D., please go ahead.
And thank you for the opportunity, Kathy, today to go ahead. And this is Paula D., currently in Florida, recovered by and with the grace of God. Wow, what a wonderful couple of paragraphs. You know, I'm going to go where I was. And I found myself with fear. It's like I'm going down the river. I'm flowing down that river. God is the river itself. And I get stuck on the side. Get stuck on the bank. And there I am, just stuck. Let the river do its work. The river is what loosened me up. The more I realized the flow that I was in, I was so willing. Oh, what a difference. But when you're on the river and you're stuck there, you don't feel that way. What if I could believe that the river will do its work? I will be mindful of the time. But I kept thinking of each fear made me more tender. Each fear that God took away. And I got to tell you, I was anchored down in those fears. And then I said, I guess that wouldn't be the right word, said. A thought came in. What if I wasn't? What if I gave them to God? Can I tell you, not only did it free me, it tenderized me in such a way that I could identify, be so much more compassionate. Fear of a divorce, fear of losing a child, whatever that fear might be. God worked it in ways that I could never have imagined, even this. But it says here, instead we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. How he brought us out of the fear into a full life. We ask him to remove our fear, why? And direct our attention to what he would have us be. I can't be what he wants me to be if I still cling to that fear. And then it says, at once, and I love this, and somebody used this word, we commence. It's a beginning. We commence to outgrow fear. Now, we commence to outgrow fear. It comes. It comes. But I'm finding that once I know that what if, and I see the history of how God has worked each one. Today, as I read these words, and it's funny, and I'm going to end with, it says, paradoxically, it is the way of strength. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? It is the way of strength to believe in God. I used to think it was for wimps until I became, oh, proudly a wimp. I thank you for this opportunity to share and just to hear all. With that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Marilyn T., please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. I'm Marilyn T. from California and a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. I like the part the best is that we never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. And at once we commence to outgrow fear. That last line really does it for me. And in doing the inventory recently and putting together in 8 the people to make amends to, you know, I can remember doing inventories in the past and being fearful of doing the amends. This time I look forward to it. I am literally kind of reborn when you do the amends, when you even step 8, when you write down all the people you are going to make amends and how you're going to do it. And it takes courage to do all this. It takes courage to put down the food, to put your faith in a power greater than yourself. And that is where we get to trust our God. And there is no need to apologize for God. There is something liberating in commencing to never have to apologize for what we believe in, and in through that we get stronger, and faith does mean courage. I'm just thankful for the program. I'm thankful for the sponsors. I'm thankful for this meeting, and with that I pass things.
Thank you very much, Marilyn T. Okay, we are open for another group of people who want to share. Who would like to share?
Courtney B.
Kaylee R.
Okay, Courtney B. Kaylee R. Tina S.
Pia S.
Oh, Tia S. Oh, is that someone different?
It's P for Peter.
Tia, and what's your last initial?
S doesn't sound.
Okay. And did we have Tina S. before that, or was that you?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Who else would like to share?
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB. Thank you.
Lisa B.
Okay, why don't we stop there then? We have Courtney B, Kaylee R, Pia S, Sherry KB, and Lisa B. Please go ahead, Courtney.
Courtney B. From Palo Alto, California. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so perfect today. Somebody said perfect love casts out all fear. And to the degree I have fear in my life, I don't know I'm loved. So when my little kid gets all panicky, I heard myself say a week ago, I'm a nervous wreck. There's just a lot going on in my life. And I went, wait a minute. Why don't we reframe that and say, I am loved. I am able to match calamity with serenity. So when I have fear in my life, I've forgotten I'm loved. And that's, so I thought, you know, I'm just going to take a bath in that, like a perfect warm bubble bath. I'm going to just soak my brain, my heart, my body in love. God is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I, and in my writing, I go, yeah, but God, you know this. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. It's like, yeah, I know. And perfect love casts out all fear. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Courtney B. Kaylee R., please go ahead.
Hi, excuse me. Hi, this is Kaylee R. in Northern California. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody, for your service today, all the speakers and the readers, especially the moderator. I'm grateful for your service and meeting today. Wouldn't run without you. For the reading, we can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. That used to be me before I joined program. My cousins and aunt and uncle are very religious, and I used to question the hell out of them. And one thing that popped into my head is they weren't allowed to have their ears pierced twice. And that was what God said. And I was like, the most important thing God had to say was you can't have your ears pierced twice. And I would just question. And I used to think that spirituality was weakness. And now...
We lost you, Kaylee. Press star one.
Can I be heard?
Oh, now
the thing started speaking to me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was just saying that I used to think of spirituality as way of weakness, and until I joined program and got my own version of a higher power, I'm at so much more peace and serenity. And I remember what it was like outside of program when I was anxious all the time and go, and I had to get everything done. And those who were spiritual were calm and collected, but they weren't getting as much done as I was. And now that I'm there, I just feel so much more at peace. I am in this transition of trying to figure out what I want to do with my career and if I want to change careers or go back to school or whatever it may be. And instead of being anxious and fearful of the future, I'm sitting in the uncomfortableness of not knowing what's going to happen, which I don't like at all, but I'm just trusting God and my higher power. And that, I think, comes back to that spiritualness isn't weakness, and having faith is having courage. And I'm just very, very grateful to have this program which led me to my higher power and to have all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kaylee R. Pia S., please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Pia F. In Parkland, Florida. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and oh my gosh, it's so much in here. And my life, or my way into OA, was definitely through fear. Fear was totally running my life when I came into program, and I just moved here from a different country. That is, it's not much larger than a big American city, and my life was totally unmanageable. I was absolutely relying on my finite self instead of infinite God. And I was always looking for a way to tap into some kind of power that could help me with my overweight and my living problems. Because on my own, I was so powerless. And I choose to call my higher power for God, but it shouldn't be standing in the way of how I relate to that power, what I call it. And I didn't know about OA and the 12 steps. I definitely thought I was a glutton, and I blamed all of my problems on my upbringing. And by working through the steps with a sponsor, I started to gain faith. And I gained that faith through taking action. And when I came to this country, I used my courage. They talk about men of courage. Now I do things I'm fearful about. But I rely on God now. He demonstrates through me what he can do, and he can do miracles. He definitely matches calamity with serenity for me. And I pray every morning, because in the morning I wake up very fearful and with anxiety, and I ask for his will for me and the power to carry that out. And for when I pray for God to remove my fear, I ask God, please remove my fear and direct my thinking to what you would have me be. And when I pray this prayer, I get guidance. I know if I follow God's will for me, I will be okay. I will be able to handle life on life's terms. And he would have me be fearless and trusting and confident, and that he will hold me and keep me safe. This is what's happening through working the steps. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Pia S. Sherry KB, please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And, you know, these paragraphs are just so beautiful and so powerful, because for me, it's been telling me all along, Sherry, the underlining thing that really goes on with you is fear. And what I do know is, I thought about this, is that, you know, I'm more comfortable with my fear than I am with my anger, but I'm more comfortable with my anger than I am with my sadness. And I think that underlining for me, fear is a lot of sadness. And when I lean on my higher power, I do outgrow fear. I do, I feel empowered. I don't feel powerless when I align my will with my higher power's will. And I also know that I heard this so many years ago, that courage is fear that it said its prayers. And so I know that when I ask God for help and I don't try to do it by myself, things come out so far better than I could ever imagine. That's what I do know. And I love that in this paragraph it has a prayer and a promise. And it says that we ask, and anytime we see the word ask, it does mean to pray. We ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And that's the prayer. And then the promise is that at once we will commence to outgrow fear. I don't know about you, but there's no other place that I've ever read anywhere that will promise me that if I lean on God, that I will outgrow fear. And it says it right after the prayer, and it's a promise. And I just know that I have had to face a lot of things, and interesting enough, last night something happened, and I've been in a lot of fear. And wouldn't you know, getting up this morning, we're reading this, and it's like, you know, I have a lot less fear, and I have more courage when I'm leaning on my higher power. And I really believe that this is a divinely inspired book, and I know that God demonstrates through me when I'm working with others in this book. I feel it. They feel it. Their higher power, they'll say, gosh, this is amazing, Sherry. And I'll go, you know what? It's our higher powers. They're getting us together. We're doing the work, and it's amazing. And I feel so useful when I'm doing this work and I'm not in fear. And I just know that I never have to do this alone. And it's a lot about feeling alone, like I have to make a decision or whatever, or something's going to happen. And the minute I lean on God, infinite God, rather than finite Sherry, things work out so much better and so far better. And I didn't time myself perfect. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Lisa V, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Lisa V from New York City. I'm a compulsive overeater. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for starting us out, and thanks for your service. I like this paragraph. I kind of chimed into the dependence and on a higher power, and also just, you know, what happens and they talk about 100 forms of fear, and I often think fear should be illegal, but it's also brought me to places that I need to be to hit a bottom that I need to hit to be able to, you know, finally work the program. But, you know, when I did my fifth step, I found you kind of see in black and white, you know, what I am most fearful of. And it's always that I'm not going to get what I want, and I'm not going to be in control, and I'm going to look bad in the eyes of others. And when I'm in that place, I'm just like constantly thinking about myself. And what it really comes down to is if others would just do what I want them to do and I'm in control, then I can feel safe. And, you know, I've learned that there's so many other ways that, you know, I can feel safe. And also that I'm just like constantly, you know, thinking about myself when I'm in that place. And it's like, that's miserable because, you know, Lisa loves to think about Lisa. And so then I cannot be of any kind of service to anyone else. And, you know, when I can truly just depend on my higher powers and just believe that I don't know what's right for me. I don't know what's right for other people. And I'm just going to try to, you know, be the best person I can be and be helpful to someone else. So I'm not just in that mode of, I just want to think about myself and only worry about myself, because that's just not a good place for me to be. And, you know, I like, you know, and some of this can just run really deep. So I've been, you know, working on some of those other issues that I can, you know, nurture myself to help myself feel safe, so I don't have to ask that from other people. You know, I've had this long-standing kind of deal with my mother-in-law, and you know, I just there's just like so much fear there. It's fear that I'm just not going to be loved enough, and you know, I've been really just, you know, praying for her in the sick man's prayer, and just, you know, when I find I can do that, when I can just really rely that, you know, I don't know what's best, and you know, I'm going to trust. It just, you know, I get so much faith out of just asking to please remove these fears, and I'm just going to get busy doing something else, so I'm not thinking about it so much. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa V. Okay, we have time for two and maybe three more shares. Who would like to share?
I would like to share.
Who is it? Who are you?
Karen from Texas.
Karen, what's your first initial of your last name?
N.
I'm sorry?
N, like Nancy?
N. Okay, mm-hmm. Karen, thank you. Just 1 minute. Anyone else want to share?
Kelly T.
Kelly T?
Yeah, Kelly T.
Okay, great. And if we have time, we can have one more after that. Is there anyone else? Okay, we'll go with those two. Karen N., please get us started.
Thank you. I'm Karen, compulsive overeater in recovery, and super, super grateful today to be a part of this fellowship. This fear stuff, I've been meditating on it and reading it this morning, and I got a part-time job as a water aerobics instructor, and I got certified and all that stuff this summer, and it kind of fell into my lap. I wasn't looking for it. I got a phone call. The lady that was doing it has arthritis and asked me to do it, and I said, okay, I'll do it, you know, and I feel good about it, and I feel like that's what my creator wants me to do. But when I went Tuesday, I almost had a panic attack, and I just am trying to heal some stuff that happened to me in front of crowds, you know, kind of public humiliation stuff, and I think this is my opportunity to do that. So I'm getting back on the horse tonight, and I'm going to show up and do it again. And hoping this time there'll be some ease because of the words I read in the big book today and the prayer that I'm going to pray over and over if need be, for God to please remove my fear and direct me and show me what he would have me be, and that I will commence to outgrow fear. So that's my plan for this evening. And you know, I feel good when I help others, and the people in the pool, there was 13 ladies, most of them older with ailments and things like that, and I would really love to be helpful to these ladies, and I don't want my anxiety to stop me and fear to stop me, you know, from reaching my potential and being the person that God has created me to be, you know. I don't want to turn my back on that because I have these, you know, coping difficulties, you know. But one thing I know for sure, and this will be my last thing, is that if I don't stay abstinent, I won't even be signing the application. So I'm really grateful that I'm abstinent, or I wouldn't be in the position I'm in, even though it's uncomfortable. Thank you for listening. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Karen M. Kelly T, please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Kelly T from New York City. Thank you so much for your service. And, oh, fears. Oh, man, that's horrible thing to have, hold on to. What my sponsor points out to me was that I keep reliving the fears. Like, a lot of the fears that comes up now are from my PTSD experiences. And for some reason, it's hard. For some reason, it just keeps coming back. And I'm really aware of it now today because I'm not in the food and I've been working the steps. But now when a fear comes up, I'm more willing to stop and contact the fellow to turn it over. Because I already know that if I hold on to that fear for even 30 minutes or more, I am the worst person to be around. Because would definitely go back to the food if I don't do the work. I know it's essential for my recovery to turn over my 10 steps. And this morning, I had a resentment and a fear. And when I felt it, I texted a fellow right away, because instead of letting the ball roll, because I was getting annoyed by someone on the train, and instead of letting that bother me, I let it go. I was like, you know what, take a deep breath, text a fellow, do the work, and everything's going to be okay. And if I didn't do that, I would have been in self-will, and the rest of the day would have been, who knows, chaotic. And I'm just grateful that I have these tools to be free from fear today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly T. We have time for a 2-minute share. Would anyone like to share?
Hi, and this is Mariana D.
Go ahead, Mariana D. 2 minutes.
Thank you. Wow. Anyway, I just have to say thank you for everyone on the line, and I just so needed to hear this today. I wasn't expecting to share, but I just really felt moved to. So what I'm really feeling or seeing is how revved up I can get. You know, I'm in a big place of transition with moving to a new state, a new home, knew everything, and it is very overwhelming, and it has been for the past month. So I'm extremely fatigued, and, you know, things aren't as in place as I would like, especially with program, and I'm getting there, but, you know, I just don't feel peaceful. And listening to the shares today, it just really came up for me of just moving slower, and I don't have to be as productive as my husband is. He's already in the garage moving boxes and unpacking some more, and I'm upstairs in my room listening to this meeting, journaling beforehand and doing my morning meditation. And I'm like, that's what I need. That's the fuel I need. But I also, like, my mind can be spinning in so many directions. And what really came up for me this morning is, like, we're this beautiful piece of stone, and God is like carving this beautiful statue out of us, and it's like who we're meant to be. And if I just let him and am willing, you know, beautiful things come from that. But when I am running on self-will and tasks and, you know, getting comfort out of having things in order, that's not true joy, or that's really not what's, you know, that's not peace. And it's doing the work from within and moving slower. And today, instead of looking at my day and all the things I need to accomplish, I'm just like, this was a wonderful meeting, because I'm like, move slowly and ask for just the next right thing. And that's all I have to do today. So thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mariana D. What a wonderful meeting. Thank you, everyone who has shared today and everyone who's here. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Christine M., could you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Christine M., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.